Where am I? You know what? We're going back to Galatians. 2 weeks ago, we were there, and we began to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And it's, you know, as a Christian, it's not good to be fruity, but it is good to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, okay? And so we want to look at Galatians chapter 5. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture too, is Galatians chapter 5. And my prayer, my eyes wide open today for all of us, is that the Holy Spirit would come and help what we hear not to go in one ear and out the other, but it would land in all of our hearts and minds, and something of God and the work of His Spirit be accomplished in each one of us today. Amen. Thank you. And so Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, he says, but. Now, that's a big but there. And he just got done talking about the works of the flesh. We read them 2 weeks ago, and we said, you know, what does that sound like compared to the fruit of the Spirit? And, you know, left to ourselves, it isn't good. But we have come to Christ, and having come to Christ, He's given us His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit at work in our lives produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, He tells us. But the fruit of the Spirit is. This is the activity of God in our life. Is love. Now, I really want us to pause. I'm going to try to say some things this morning to look at this, and so that something is captured here, you know, doesn't go here and here. And, you know, it's like I can remember one of the first times that Sandra met my family. And she, I don't know if she was ever even in a project, but I grew up in the projects, and I don't even know if she was ever in the projects. Well, she met my family, Henri, you know, projects, all right, buddy? And she came to meet my family, lived in the projects, and right across the street was the train tracks. We had trains that went by all the time. And so, you know, she meets my family, and, you know, the next day she says, the next morning she says, wow, those trains. And I looked there and I said, what train? And having, you know, lived there for a few years and you get used to it, right? It's like I didn't even hear the trains go by anymore. I got so used to it. In fact, as a kid, we used to play on the train tracks. And if my mother knew, oh boy. But we used to. We'd be right there, trains go by, and you know, they'd blow us, just about blow us over. We were that close. And she was like, what trains? And as we talk about these things, and especially when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, you know, we say the first one, love. And it's like, it could be that same kind of thing where you become so desensitized to these things, and it's like, we don't even hear it. You know, we say joy and peace. And I'm hoping that something will register where it's like, wow, there's trains going by. And almost, if it could be possible, that it'd be like the first time hearing today for some of us with some of these things. And so, patience. And I'm going to pick on Mike, because he's asking for it. But he texted me last week, and he says, if you preach on patience, again, I'm leaving the church. Well, Mike, I'm giving the opportunity to be patient with me, okay, today. And that's how these things work. Don't they work? You know, it's like, oh, Lord, work love in my life. And immediately you're put into a situation, into a circumstances where you got to be what? Loving. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Don't ever pray that. Because immediately you'll be put into a situation where you need what? To exercise patience. And that's how these things work, all of them. And here we have it. And he says, patience, kindness. After kindness, there's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we want to look at these nine things again. These nine qualities. These nine characteristics that ought to be exhibited and they ought to be demonstrable in our lives. We call ourselves Christians. Because being a Christian, what's happened to us is that we have, God has given to us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit's come into our lives, and we've been born again. So whereas I, you know, before I met Christ, I didn't know God. If I had an understanding of God, it was like, you know, understanding God, yeah, he's there somewhere. And things were fuzzy, but a real relationship with God didn't exist, but it exists when Christ comes into our lives and we are born again. He puts His Spirit there, and then His Spirit goes to work in our lives and making us what He always intended us to be. That's what these nine things, these nine characteristics represent. These nine characteristics represent God's intention for my life. Wow, that's big. That's huge. Now, one of the ways I look at it, knowing who I am, is God's got His work cut out for Himself. When it comes to me in these nine fruit of the Spirit, who? I have given the Holy Spirit a run for His money. The good news is He's up for the chance. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. And so we talk about these things. When we talk about them, once again, I'm gonna hit and miss on some of these. We're going to get to that. Take another look at the nine. But before we get there, just let me say, is everyone comfortable? Okay. I mean, there might be some more coffee downstairs if you need to get it. There's water. That we need to say a couple more things. And just one or two of them is what we've already said, but hoping to pick up the pace a little bit today with the fruit of the Spirit. And that is, these are all things that have to do with the inside of us. Inside of us. And it isn't that we aren't to be and we aren't concerned with what's on the outside, because truth be known, whatever's on the inside eventually what? Makes its way out. And that's not only a given, but you can bet your bottom dollar, whatever in there is going to show up on the outside. All right? It will. And so God's emphasis, though, in working in my life is He's interested in getting inside, working inside. And so the Christian life, I'll say it like this, the Christian life, as we have spoken about it from time to time, and I just alluded to it, you know, that new life that we have come to. You know, I was an ain't, now I'm a saint. I didn't know Jesus, now I know Him. Christ has come into my life, grace, the cross, redemption. The Christian life is nothing if not about the fruit the Holy Spirit produces in our life. So central to the Christian life, central to walking with Jesus, is right here, contained right here in these words, these nine fruit of the Spirit. This is it right here. Now life, we talk about life, real life, and we almost have to add that adjective, you know, real life, because it's like, you know, some people speak about, I'm living the dream. Living the dream. And they have attached to life, you know, what living the dream is. And it's like, well, if that for you is living the dream, you can have it. And one day you're going to wake up and look back and realize you've been living the nightmare and not the dream. And that's sad. But real life, you know, life as we have it every day, real life, has no magic wands. Now, you know, we can bemoan that. Sometimes I wish it did. know? Especially when it comes to the changes that have to take place in my life when I look at the fruit, let's say, of love and how far away I am at times from demonstrating that love out of my life. I wish there was an abracadabra, and boom, I'm an instant saint, you know? It's like the, you know, the it's like, oh God, you know. And, you know, we sometimes, I mentioned that, and I want to look at this, because as Christians, we can fall into the trap of equating my walk, my relationship with God, our community life together as the church, as a fairy tale. Fairy tale in the sense that, oh, you know, you're going to have your problems, but, oh, sprinkle some angel dust, and everything's going to be all better, you know, how things, you know, just like that, having waved the magic wand, boom, it is different. Christianity has no magic has not. Says it fairy tale. So much more we can say about that. That's not my point this morning. But what is my point is the Christian life does have miracles. It does. The Christian life has miracles. But still, no magic wands. Now, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with the fruit of the Spirit? What does that have to do and how it is that we look at these two verses here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and the rest of them, the nine of them. Can you recite that, the nine of them? I'm sure you can. What is that whole idea of, you know, it's not as easy as just, you know, sometimes we think prayer is a magic wand, don't we? Now, I have to be careful in saying that, of inserting that into this spot, that word prayer, because prayer is powerful. And prayer does move the miraculous hand of God into our lives, into our situations. But still, prayer is no magic wand. You say, well, you know, I prayed about it. And meaning that, well, you know, it's almost like Jeannie who what? What does she do? Well, she binks. Does Jeannie bink?
Blinks.
Oh, blinks? Blinks. Whatever. You know, so, oh, that's
she puts her arms like this.
Oh, she puts her hands like this, and she binks. That's what I call it up with kids. She binks. And we think, well, you know, I'm going to pray, and there we go, and boom. And it's okay now. And we have these expectations about God. See, this is the thing. False expectations of how it is that God is going to work his miracles in our lives. It's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the nine fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to write them on a 3x5 card. I'm going to put them under my pillow. And when I go to sleep every night, because it's there, and I'm going to go through each one of them, and I'm going to pray. Now, I would recommend that. But the false expectation is that's the way they're going to be worked into our lives. Now, I wish that'd be as easy as that. But it's not. It's not. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. And you know it's not. Now, we wish it were. We wish it were different. And it's not to suggest that God doesn't work miraculously in our lives in all of these areas that, you know, I've seen it.
But talking about these things from changing me, from who I am to what he wants me, to what he has made me to be, oh, there's no magic. There's no magic. So what does it mean then? Well, I got three things I want to say. The first is this. It means that changes in our lives happen by the miracle of grace. That's the first thing. I've said it, and as we've talked in these last couple of weeks, that, you know, the Bible and my walk with God, by the way, check up. He's reading your Bibles, devotions, or you're there. Check up this checkup time. We began with this. This is February. Next week, March.
Woohoo!
I'm on March.
Come on, June.
Are you doing your devotions? See? So that, you know, the Bible's not a self-help book. You know? And its authors are not self-help gurus. You know, this isn't Tony Robbins. I'll slap him. It's not Tony Robbins, you know? No. But it is a miracle. Changes happen in our lives by the miracle of God working his grace in my life. It's grace. Meaning that God doesn't say, Rulowitz, I'm giving you 3 days. And if you don't get that impatience, this is for Mike. If you don't get that impatience under control, off with your head. I've just had it with you. You know, I'm giving you 3 days, and that's it. Do what you can do, Lord. No. Instead, he says, you know what? Rulowitz, you got to take a long, hard look at that fruit of the Spirit, patience. And I say, boy, God, doesn't my wife know it? Because she gets the brunt of it the most. I live with her. And he says, yeah, she has my sympathy. And he says, listen, he says, you know, I want to start working in your life by my Spirit. Would you cooperate with me as we take the next 5 years to really get this fruit mature in your life? And then he adds this little caveat. In fact, it might be the next 5 to 10 years. Right? The miracle of his grace. So that's the first thing we have to really get a feel for in this. That the change happens by a miracle of his grace in my life because I cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in me. Here's the next one. You ready? You're going to like this one. So we talk about it as process. Change is process. The fruit of the Spirit in my life is process. And it's a process. The change is a process that includes the mix of three things. Three things. The first one I've already alluded to is time. Nobody changes overnight. Magic wands can make the change happen overnight. Oh God, this is a magic wand. Overnight. But the process is a process that includes the mix of time. Time. And God has given us the gift of time. Now, having given us the gift of time, having given you and me the gift of time, it's like, oh Lord, this whole thing with patience. God, I don't know, I'm just so... And God says, well, Rulowitz, this, you would be a lot further along than you are right now if you would have been cooperating with me. He says, remember that situation that I put you in last week where Grandma Moses was in a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit and you were driving, she instead of driving at 50, she was driving at 30, and you were in a hurry and behind her. So that was me. I put her there just for you. And you remember what you did? Oh, yes, Lord, I'm sure I was praying. He says, no, he says, let me show you. And so my imagination becomes video, and he presses the button, and digitally it goes there, and I see what I did. That as I honked down the horn and drove by her, I gave her... only to realize, you know, Gary and Elizabeth aren't here this morning. I wish they were to hear this story. But just so you can identify with it, you know, it's like we're the, you know, it's like we're the perfect church for imperfect people, and I'm the president of this club, the imperfect part. So we're, Sandra and I are on our way, I think, over to Melody's house. And we pull up, and there's a Y that comes together like this and then goes out. And as we come to that, there's this vehicle to the right of us that's also coming at the same time as I am. And this vehicle does a rolling stop. I had already come to a complete stop and started to go. This vehicle comes to a rolling stop and it's coming right at me. And as this vehicle's coming at me, I'm looking at them. You know, I see what's going on, everything gets happening, and I start. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm giving him the whole thing, right there. Only as we got closer to realize that it's Gary and Elizabeth. And as I realized, wow, they don't come here to church anymore. Only to realize, you know, it's them. And so I change instantly on the spot. And I go, oh, hey. And I'm gesturing. Oh, I don't know. You know, making it look like the gestures before were just, I'm just fooling around.
Good job.
And so these things take time. Time. A mix of time. What's the next ingredient that goes into the mix? The next ingredient that goes into the mix is pressure. Pressure. You ever been under pressure? Stress, pressure. And God is a master at putting us into situations that put us under pressure. And it's under that pressure that He is endeavoring to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And how much we can talk about that. You know, it's like carbon becomes, you know, that black coal is transformed into a diamond by what? Pressure. And as it works, I forget how deep underground it is. But because of the pressure, the transformation takes place, and that pressure also not only transforms it into a diamond, but also brings it to what? The surface. That speaks so much. But pressure. And it's like, you know, how often do we pray? Oh, you know, I've been thinking that, you know, my life would be so much better off if I wasn't in so much pressure. When in fact, it is part of the process, time and pressure, to work the fruit of the Spirit in my life. We can say so much more about that. Here's the third ingredient, and I saved the best of the mix for last. You ready? Oh, yeah. Time. Pressure. And people. 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 Yeah, people. People. That God, you know, it's like, you don't know how perfect... You know, I'd have the perfect marriage if it wasn't for Sandra. Yeah. You know, it's like, you don't know how loving I could be to you if it wasn't for you. And people, and God has so designed the connection, you know, that you know, it's like, you know, it's like the running joke, you know, with me is like, you know, I'm looking for, you know, I'm you know, the perfect scenario for me as a pastor would be, you know, a church that is thriving, big salary, lots of vacation, and no people. But would that be awesome? You know, that would be awesome. I would do a lot of visitation. I'd be out on visitation every weekend. That's what I would name my boat.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm just joking, of course, because people are my business. But the whole thing here of people, and you know, and it's like, you know, when you look at most of the problems in your life, who are they? I bet you've got names for the problems in your life.
Oh, yes.
And God uses people in our lives to bring the fruit of the Spirit to our lives. Wow. So that's that. Moving on, the last one, the third one is this. And again, they are all, these things are all connected, that, you know, there's no magic wand, meaning that the changes happen in the context of personal relationships. I'm a better man because I have been married for 38 years. You know, the personal connection there, you know, having stayed faithful, has made me a better person. Because, you know, listen, you know as well as I do, and I can be like this. You tick me off, okay? And there is this knee-jerk reaction when somebody ticks me off. If you tick me off, is to do what? Straight arm. You know, we straight arm. And I'm going to avoid them. I don't like them. And don't get me wrong. All things, you know, there's things that, well, maybe I should avoid you. But the thing is, hey, you know what? What in this relationship and where it's going, how it's gone, is God wanting to work something in my life of the fruit of the Spirit? It's like, have you ever prayed and said, oh, God, I want more of you. God, change my life. God, you know, I just need something more. And then he brings a particular person in your life, situation, through that person in your life. And it's like, you know, it's like you start rebuking the devil and God says, I'm answering your prayer. Yeah. I'm answering your prayer. And so, personal relationship. And I just mentioned that because, listen, you know, you've heard me say this before, that what we're involved in here, you know, it's like, this isn't business. You know, it's not that we don't have business to do, but we're talking about personal relationships. You know, I'm not just a pastor and I got a job to do. I don't think of it that way. That gives me the heebie-jeebies. You know, I'm the pastor and I got a job to do, you know, and I got the list and the, you know, the people to see and the visitation and the calls and the work. I look at it as people who I'm related to by relationship. Connect. People become my friends. Family. People become my family. Family. And that was the Godfather. Nobody got anybody? Okay, thank you. And you know, this is how I see it. I think it's Bible, but it's context of, so let me just quickly say this about some of these things. And this is just throwing some stuff out there, okay? As we look at these nine things. Not going to touch on every one of them. But hopefully, I'm going to talk about Nation Twine.
Just let me know when.
Well, it's the third. Yeah, be patient. We're getting.
I'll be in Florida.
Well, I mean, right now, you're here because I'm hitting, I'm striking while we're getting good. All right, so, but love. All right? Now, try to stay with me on this, okay? Some of you catch up. So, in the Bible, which we have it has come down to us written in the Greek language and translated into zillions of languages. But when the Bible, see, we have one word for love. Love. Now, we talk about it in different ways, so we understand what kind of love, but it's love. In the Bible uses different words for love, completely different words. I'll tell you what I mean. For instance, when it says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, you've heard just this morning the word in the Greek language that it's using, agape. 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 The Bible also speaks of another kind of love, and it calls it love. When Jesus says to Peter, for instance, and when Peter in his epistle says to love one another fervently, he's using the word there, philia. Now, some of you have heard of Philadelphia, and who knows what Philadelphia means? City of brotherly love. It's a combination of two words, which means love and brother, brotherly love. So philia. So there is a filial love or a friendship love. So when Peter says, love one another, he's saying, be genuine friends with each other from the heart fervently. So there's filial love in the Bible. And then there's also romantic love in the Bible. Romantic love. You know, anyone who is not married, or at least you should be engaged, everyone should not read the Song of Solomon. And not everybody's going to go home and read the Song of Solomon. But it's about romantic love. The Greek word is eros. We get the word what from it? Erotica, right? Eros. And but it means romantic love. Okay? So when he says here, though, the word he's using here is agape. Not philia. Not romantic love. Not friendship love. But he's using agape, and why he's using that word is because he is saying it is a selfless love. Agape is an unselfish way of love. Have you ever talked to someone that you thought was dialogue and it was more monologue, them to you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like, what? Oh, man. It's like they're so filled with themselves that themselves are in the way. You know people like that, where themselves are in the way? We all can be like that. We all can be like that. You know, after me, you come first. We're all like that. And so... The idea is how this love, this unselfish love works. Now, here's the deal. You got to watch this now. This is major. We know a lot about friendship love. Most of us here have friends. I'm looking at a couple of you in questions. Friends. Friends, right? Friendship love. And most of us here know about romantic love. I like romantic love. Romantic love. If those two things are not founded upon agape love, they will disintegrate. They will unravel. There will be major issues. In my friendship with you, if it is not undergirded by agape, our friendship's in trouble. If my romantic love, now my romantic love is focused on just one person, and that's Sammy. If that romantic love that I have for her is not informed by, grounded in agape, our relationship is in trouble.
It's in trouble.
It's in trouble because what happens when I no longer look like that 25-year-old, debonair, tall, dark, and handsome, can do anything guy, that her nice and shiny arm, and I start to grow old, my hair starts turning. See, I'm not there yet. But, and I, you know, and I got aches and pains, those I do have. She's often said to me, "Oh, you're acting like such an old man." Because I'll cough, and I get out of bed, and it's like, oh, you know, what happens when that starts to come? And, you know, your romantic, I mean, those things prey on your romantic love. And not very well. And there's no agape. See? Okay, you get the point. So here's the last thing I want to say about love. Ready now? Two words. Complete sentence. I'm going to use it as a noun and as an intransitive verb. Love hurts. Love hurts. And when we stop and think about it, we know that it hurts, don't we? Just stick with someone that is not being very inviting to your love. But yet you love them. That hurts. Love hurts. I can often remember disciplining my children and saying, you know, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to be disciplined. You know, God says the same thing to us. He says that about us as his children. And here's the thing that I've discovered about that whole deal. Okay? I'm going to put myself in the picture for a moment. Okay? And this is how I want to put myself in the picture. I'm a very relational guy. And so I like building relationships. People discover that about me. We build relationships. Everything is fine until, as their pastor, I have to speak into their lives. Then there's an issue. And isn't that true, though, in all of our relationships? That if you're in a relationship with someone, friendship, I know, Cindy, tell me, that in that relationship cannot sustain the truth, it's not worth having. The relationship isn't worth it. He tells us, speak the truth and lie to one another. This happens in marriage all the time. Or it all can be happening in our lives. But in our relationships, you know, all things, I mean, things go weird with this. Don't get me wrong. Things go weird with this kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that end of the weirdness stuff. But it's like, oh, you know, we're really good friends until my good friend called me up short on how impatient I am. You were just acting like a jerk. Well, there goes our friendship out the window. Well, if that's the way you feel about it, the friendship wasn't worth very much. And it was only one way, me to you. So, okay. Sorry, but okay. So love hurts. All right. Next, well, we're going to skip right down to sorry, Mike. Patience. Then we're done. Patience. Now, I'm picking on Mike. You don't know how impatient the guy is you're looking at right now. Just travel with me. Right, Mike? Listen, Mike, you ought to be proud of yourself. In traveling, you had lots of patience. Me, on the other hand, My wife and I will pull up to a restaurant. There are people pulling up at the same time as we are. I will hurry her to get in the door before those other people get in and get ahead of us and get a table before we do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's no joke. But I'm impatient. So I know whereof I speak, you know? Now, here's the thing that I've learned about patience, okay? There's pressure that comes to our lives. Things that we deal with. And as we're dealing with these things, when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours, and it rains and pours. Cats and dogs. The dogs bite and the cat's claw, right? Comes at us. These things are at us. To be patient, remember I said this word, macrothumia is the word. Macrothumia. And what it means is this, that as this load is coming on you, to be patient means that you bear up under the load. Now think about impatience. What do you do when you become impatient? It's piling on. It's piling on. And you do what? You implode! Ah! You become impatient. That's what it means to become impatient. You implode. It's out. And so the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to work in us so that He is producing His patience. And as it's piled on, it's piled on, it's piled on, and I bear up under the load instead of imploding. You know what imploding is? It's when your guts come out. That's imploding. All the guts come out here. It's all over the place. Patience. Boy, so much more we can say. You know, faithfulness. A good word to insert for faithfulness, there would be loyalty. You talk about something in our society that's been unraveling for a long time. It's this whole thing of loyalty. Unraveling. Loyalty. Loyalty. Faith. Loyalty. That we just assume sell each other out for a nickel as to be loyal to one another. They start offering something a little bit better or cheaper down the road, well, all right, it's cheap. And don't get, you know, I'm be weird about stuff, but it talks about this whole thing of faithfulness, this whole idea of loyalty. And the Holy Spirit's intention in my life and in yours is that, He says, Rulowitz, you know what? I'm going to work these things into you. Like, cooperate with me in these things. Oh, Lord, just, could you wave the magic wand? And all of that, you know, in a situation when I'm confronted with that person who is anything but lovable, and wave the magic wand, and oh, how I love them. He says, no, but the bringing an unlovable person into your life, I got that covered for you. But as that person comes into your life, my Spirit's going to be right there. And there's going to be a miracle of grace that happens to change you from the inside out. And I'm going to show you how to be forgiving, how to be kind in situations that are horrible. Wow. You say, that's the Christian life? That's what you signed on to? Yep. Now, it's bigger. How much we have to add on to this at all. So let's stand in His presence. Are you with me? You hearing this? Come on. I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, boy, I wish we had a pastor we could look up to. All I got to say is this. You got it. You got it. I'm right there with you in the trenches, okay? Right there with you. I accept your imperfection. Please accept mine. Father, thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I'm grateful that I'm a man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, how much more? Fill me more. Lord, fill us, your people, with your Spirit so that these kinds of things would be noticeable. That the evidence of being a Christian would be well seen in all of our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. God bless you.